Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch. Yes, no.
You can't stop it.
I just said that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Right, seriously, yes. Guys. Fort.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Gotta go big. Really big.
Message erased.
We are the Dave and Giggles show, and I'm looking at an empty screen, and Giggles is should be there, but I'm not sure. But we are Dave and Giggles here on Radio Free Brooklyn, and we should be getting a call in a couple minutes from a guest who I went to high school with, who's been on the show a number of times, and she's on tour now. She's going to call in, promote her band, and give her the what's what. What's happening over there? Are we losing you? Every freaking time. It just doesn't end. But regardless, we should be getting that call soon. I want to give a shout out to Dylan and Laura and Christoph and Giggles last week for covering the show. And I was in Mexico. In Mexico. Are you coming through, buddy? Where are you? There you
are.
Yeah.
You there?
Yeah, yeah.
I just wanted to freak you out a little.
We do this every week.
No, are you there? No. Are you there? I pressed the mute button.
Oh, you look good.
I just wanted to, you to know what it was like to miss me.
I miss you all the time. Every time. All right. So here's our special guest. Whoa. That's probably my phone. All right. Putting that over there. Hello. Alana, you there?
Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. What's going on?
We are in Cleveland about to play with Elfman at the Beachland Ballroom.
That's badass. So I saw you went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame today. How was your experience?
So cool.
Yeah? Have you ever been there before?
Yeah. No. None of us have.
No, it was pretty cool. I mean, you get to see a lot of famous pants. You get to see a lot of famous shirts. A lot of capes.
Yeah.
A lot of guitars.
Gloves.
I saw you saw the Michael Jackson glove. I mean, that's probably the most famous glove that's ever been.
I think it's the most famous glove, except for the OJ glove.
Yeah.
Oh, good point.
I think those gloves should talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? If that glove could talk, it's probably seen so much. Right.
If those gloves were drowning, which one would God save?
Oh, I would probably save the OJ glove.
Yay!
The OJ glove. So you guys are on tour right now with L7?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations. How'd you score that? What happened? How did that come about?
It's an LA secret.
The LA secrets.
Something you won't understand if you are in Los Angeles right now.
Yeah, I am definitely not. And you guys are in Cleveland, which is, I guess, like a million years away from LA.
Well, so we don't even know what's happening. But luckily, we're in Ohio together with L7.
Very cool.
So literally, we don't know how it happened.
Yeah. Nobody knows how it happened. And it's better to remain a mystery so that when you get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, there will be a little special place for you guys in L7 to have your little moment and to let everyone know then.
It'll be a picture of L7 and four question marks where our faces should be.
Yeah, and our socks.
Our desert socks, yeah.
It's great.
Our socks and heels.
So you had a show in Brooklyn. How'd that go?
So much fun.
It was so good.
Nice. I missed it. I was down in Mexico for a wedding. And so I'm sorry I missed it. When you guys come through again, I will definitely be there.
Hell yeah.
And
we miss you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Right. So I got a text message from Alana yesterday being like, hey, fill this thing out, getting married. Is this something we could talk about?
On the radio? Absolutely not.
All right, done. No talking about it.
The whole audience will come to the wedding.
All right, good.
Yeah, some surprises.
Surprises.
Elephants.
I love it.
Surprises.
I love it. All right, so what's the tour? You going to surprises. Cleveland. Where are you going after Cleveland?
Yeah.
We're going to Milwaukee next, and then Indianapolis, Minneapolis,
really?
And then Chicago at the end of the tour.
Nice.
I actually have the posters right there.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God.
What's the website that people can go check it out?
L7official.com.
Oh, L7official.com, and all your stuff is up there, too?
Yeah.
Nice.
You can go to Death Valley Girls on Instagram.
Yeah, right. Instagram on Death Valley Girls is headquarters for all things Death Valley Girls.
Death Valley Girls.
Or
you guys.
Another fun.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm just, I don't know. None of my business.
I thought you had a fun fact.
Well, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to ask, like, did you guys form in L.A. or was it a New York thing? Because I heard about you guys when Alana was in New York. And like back and forth. So where did you guys like finally get together?
In Los Angeles, but we had an affair with Alana one night in New York. Oh no, it was in Jersey. One night in Jersey, the whole band got together with Alana. But then it really was mainly in Los Angeles where Alana came and she shepherded us through the pathway of reality when we met our record that came out 2 years ago.
Nice.
I'm going to step away from this now.
I love it. I love it.
Early on in our career, we played a show, and Alana played a solo opening. Like, we played this weird bar in L.A., and Bonnie said, my friend Alana is gonna play the show with us. And I swear.
Actually, that's not how it happened. What had happened was our bass player at the time said, my favorite musician in the world is this person, Alana. And I said, you mean the person Alana I know? And she said, yeah.
Now everybody knows Alana.
She could play with us. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then she played with us and everyone was like, oh my gosh. And then she tells us.
And there it is. And that's how it all came to be.
Now we're best friends forever. I'm just blushing. And now we travel around the world. The code too, where you just were.
Yes, this
where
is true.
You, by the way?
I was in Mexico. I was told I was in Mexico. I was not around.
Do you have any of the chicken in Mexico?
Did I have any of the what? The chicken?
Chicken. Yes.
Yeah, I did. I totally did. I stayed away from the ice and I stayed away from the water and I did not get sick. So I was very happy about that. I did find
Mexican chicken.
Yeah, it was great. Everything's great down in Mexico. I was very pleasantly surprised by Mexico. Everybody's so nice down there. Very surprised by Mexico. Yes.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening in their own personal language. But
sure.
You can't walk by anyone that doesn't greet you.
Right.
And you them.
It is very nice. And the only place that it was a little rough was like you go to like Playa de Carmen or like Cancun or something, and you just get bombarded with people to try to sell you stuff. I had one guy come up to me and he's like, listen, just stop for a second. And I was like, what's up? And he goes, listen, let me show you stuff you don't need.
But I feel like it's like that every time I turn on the internet.
Yeah, that's basically the same thing. Yeah. The internet is, which is actually surprising because like I got like kind of like wrapped up in this whole thing while I was down in Mexico. And I went on a search for a new GoPro with a guy that I was with. And we ended up going to a whole bunch of like malls in Mexico, which was really weird, by the way. But anyway, we went to a whole bunch of malls in Mexico and like commerce in Mexico is booming. Like the malls were packed. You go to malls in America, there's like nobody there. Everybody's on Amazon.com. Nobody goes to malls anymore. So it was just packed. I was really amazed. The chicken was amazing.
I'm not trying to be bold here, but I just feel like their food isn't mass-produced and it tastes so much better.
It's so much better.
I must have to pretend I'm a vegan. Personally, I eat chicken.
Right.
I noticed the chicken quality of Mexico is so much higher than America.
You're a chickitarian. A chickitarian. That's what I'll call you. You're a chickitarian.
The chicken's better.
The chicken is better.
It just tastes better.
It is. Yeah. And like you go down there and you're not going to drink like water. So you're like, oh, just give me a Coke. And then those are better because they use like real sugar. Like the Mexican Cokes, they use real sugar. So it tastes so much better. But here I am talking great about Mexico while we're in Brooklyn and you guys are in Ohio and you're on tour with L7.
Really anywhere.
Awesome. All right. So deathvalleygirls.com or you can go to L7official.com and you can find out all about them.
There is no deathvalleygirls.com, but just if you Google us, you'll find us. You probably find one of us walking around somewhere.
Yeah. Well, you have a show tonight, right? You have a show tonight?
Stop on the internet. Like, I'm sorry. I actually mean this. If anyone really wants to know where to find this on the internet, if I can, I will give them $5 and tell them in person.
Perfect. I love it. All right. So go see them. Are you playing tonight, right?
In a couple minutes. We have to play now.
You're playing now. All right. So go see them at what place you playing tonight?
They're on stage right now.
They are on stage right now.
We're on the side of the stage right now.
That's pretty awesome.
We're the beach ballroom.
I'm going to keep in touch with the tour and I'm gonna live vicariously through all you guys. So call back next week. Let us know where you are.
Okay, we'll call you back next week and give you an update on
where we are.
I love it. Well, I love you guys. Have a good show.
Break legs.
Thank you. Thanks for letting us talk to you.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Yep. Call back next week. We'll talk.
Okay.
All right. Later.
What?
How many people were on that phone call?
There was a lot. There was a lot.
Like three.
I know.
I thought it was Alana, and then there was like this other girl and then this other guy.
She really wanted to talk about the chicken.
I wanted to talk about the chicken.
I know.
They were just talking. This happens when you call like a when you get a call from a group of people. They end up talking.
Right.
And because, we get sidetracked. Yeah,
because nobody's listening on the other end. When there's like a group chat, no one's listening. So it's just a mess. But I thought it was really cool. They're on tour right now with L7. They just played in Brooklyn and they're going on tour.
Who's
all
L7?
L7. L7. I'll play you some L7. I think you'll remember L7. There was like an all girl group from the 90s.
Was it like that? Did they do Underground? Who was that? Take me down. Six Underground. Was that L7?
Let's see.
Here's what I'm talking about.
I don't know if this was like their popular song. I gotta find the popular song.
Yeah, I don't think I like it.
Oh yeah, you're a Hamilton guy. You're a Hamilton guy.
Yeah, I'm into rapping, freestyling.
Right.
You know.
Right. You are into freestyling. Here's a couple of things from the show I listened to last week that I wasn't here for. Dylan couldn't get you on the Hangouts. And then you talked about
Google Hangouts.
And then you talked about it for a while and then gave out our password to the whole listening audience. I really enjoyed
that.
We're
hacked. Did we get hacked?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did anybody hack us?
Nobody hacked us.
You should change our password.
Yeah.
We should. I saw that you made us an Instagram account.
I did.
Pretty,
it's good. I'm trying to push it. It's Dave and Giggles, DAVENAND Giggles. Find us there. Friend us, follow us, whatever you do on Instagram. I'm not really quite sure, but I started that up and I made.
Do you know what I love? Yeah. I love if you Google Dave and Giggles, you'll find us.
You will find
us. We're the first like eight.
It's because we're the only.
Our brand is probably better than us.
Oh yeah,
right
much
now.
Much better than us. Well, that's what happens when you've been around for like 10 years or more. Eventually, you put so much stuff out on the internet that it comes up. You know?
Yeah. Oh,
I do like when. Whenever, I mean, it doesn't happen often, but if you'll come to New York, we'll go out and you'll be like, hey, we're going to go meet this guy that I know. I haven't seen him in a while. And we'll go out and him and his, like, some of his friends will be there and we'll be like, I'm here's my friend Dave and Mike. And he's like, wait, are you Dave from Dave and Giggles?
Yeah,
I always love that. Are you the Dave from Dave and Giggles?
Yeah, our name precedes us. I have a buddy in Australia that, like, messaged me the other week or so and he's like, are you guys still doing that radio show? And I was like, yeah, how'd you know?
Kind of.
Yeah, you know, like people know.
Yeah,
people know. I do have the opportunity, speaking of radio shows and, you know, years and years of audio, I do have an opportunity to be the school's PTO's vice president. So I can either be the vice president, the treasurer, or the member at large of my school's PTO.
What are you going to do?
My kid's school's PTO.
Which one are you going
to
do?
Or I have the opportunity to be a board member on my neighborhood's HOA. Which would you pick?
What's the HOA? And
which it's you're an HOA board member. You're basically
what
like,
does
you
HOA
get to
stand
decide
for?
Things about the neighborhood.
What's the HOA stand for? You don't know.
What do you mean? What is it?
HOA?
No, we're going into an owner-controlled HOA. Homeowners Association.
Oh, Homeowners Association.
You know what
I don't own a home.
You asked me, I was like, what? Don't you know what HOA stands for?
No, I do not know what HOA stands for. I have no idea.
Homeowners Association.
All right, so I think you should, all right, I'm going to boil this down. I do not think that you should be treasurer. I think that's a bad idea.
No, that's a bad idea.
It's a bad idea. Eventually, you're going to get like, Me Too'd, and like you're gonna find out that you like used campaign funds to do something terrible, to buy your kid something or something.
Yeah.
Not a good idea.
Yeah. Use the business credit card, the PTO credit card for like lunch or something.
Yeah, exactly. Bad idea.
Bad idea.
Member at large or
vice president?
Vice president sounds good. What responsibilities would you have as vice president?
I think you're there just in case the president can't be there. And the president's usually always there.
So you're the Mike Pence.
You know?
You're the guy
waiting in the wings, just ready for his chance.
You kind of have to back up no matter what the president says. You got to be like, yes, I stand by the president.
Yeah, or you could just mutiny.
Yeah, you can mutiny. I mean, that's what I think Pence is probably doing right now, being like, all right, if I just don't say anything and I just kind of lay low, eventually I'll be president. Do you have to run for vice president or do they just?
Well, you have to submit a video sort of submission, which I was like, I could knock that out of the park.
You could.
I could do like a multicam, you know, like me walking through the field.
I would love to see this video.
You know,
I would love to
talking
see
about being
video.
Like second best to not good enough to be the president.
No,
just
no. I feel like you're going to go with member at large, but yeah. I think
that means I have to attend all the meetings.
Oh no. Well, do you have to attend all the meetings if you're vice president?
Yeah. I mean, you have to commit. Yeah. It's a time commitment. That's the thing.
Right.
It's a time commitment.
Is it once a week? Is that what it is? Or once a month?
No, I think it's like once a month or something.
That's not too
it's
bad.
It's not bad.
No. I mean, you're the type of guy.
I think if I'm going to run for mayor future down the road, I need to start with something small.
Go for vice president. Make the video.
I can't mayor.
Yeah. Go for vice president. I want to see this video. I want to see what how you come across vice president.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. What do you got?
So our actual mayor of our town, Aurora, actually announced that he has cancer and he's not going to be seeking re-election.
Oof.
But, I mean, that's bad for him. But also, like, if I wanted to run for mayor, there you go.
You're gonna,
this could be my end.
I feel like you need a lot more work to get to, like, mayor possibilities.
I've been here for 4 years.
Which probably
I can make
put
a
you
sick
in,
promo video.
You could.
If I, like, honestly, like, I think I can make a great video. And then, but then they would research my history and be like, this guy.
I know. I mean, luckily your name is not on the show. It's just Giggles. So they won't be able to find that until I send them a whole bunch of horrible audio. I'll sell that shit so fast. So fast.
For what? For how much?
$20 in a month.
How it is. Like $2,000. You'd probably sell some good clips for like, you know, a couple grand.
Yeah. But I mean, the funny thing is that most of our 99% of our shows are on the internet and they could just go get them themselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they could get them.
But I'll curate all the horrible things you've said.
Yeah.
Like
last week,
for instance, you were like, oh, so you're black?
Well, I didn't know. I mean, that's why we do a radio show.
That's so good. That's so good. That was really good. That was Christoph really, really was good. I was talking to Dylan and he said he wants to come back. A bunch. So I told him anytime he wants to come back, he's welcome.
In my defense, he was good. But in my defense, his name was Christoph.
Yeah.
All right. How many black guys do you know named Christoph?
That's the only one I would say.
It's you know.
Yeah.
And then he started talking about Black Panther and like getting emotional. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. Why? Like, why would a white guy get really, really emotional and start crying during Black Panther?
You wouldn't.
Unless he really relates to like the African American experience.
Right. Which obviously he does because
Well, I didn't even know if I could get on the show last week, let alone know the ethnicity of our guests. Not that that's important, you know. I
know. I was really impressed that you called in. I liked how you kept threatening that you were going to be like, "All right, I'm done. I'm going out on a high note." That was nice. Yeah. That was nice.
Yeah. I'm leaving.
I was like in mid picture taking mode of all the brides and grooms and all that of when the show was happening. So I tuned in for like the last 5 minutes and I listened to it and I was like, all right, they sound like they're holding their own. It was really good.
Yeah.
The picture stuff was really funny because they like spent like an hour taking all of the bride and her bridesmaids pictures. And then they come back and they were like, okay, we ran out of time. Let's get a couple pictures of the guys and head up to the dinner.
Yeah. They
don't care.
They always hose you.
They always do. Well, Dylan and Laura were supposed to come in. I don't know where they are. Yeah, go ahead.
Was Pat a bridesman or a groomsman?
No,
was she one of the?
No, neither.
No, neither. They have groomsmen or?
Yeah. It was me, Mr. John Collins, Mr. His other brother Ken, and Johnny Massetta. Johnny Massetta was
gotcha.
One. And then Ryan was the, this is all insider stuff, but laying it down for what it is. And then Ryan officiated. So there it was. All the boys in town were there.
I feel like he might have gotten away with paying like $3,000 for this wedding. Like basically they just had to get everybody to get down there and buy like rooms and tickets.
Right.
And the wedding itself was probably like $5,000.
Yeah, $8,000. I can't imagine. I mean,
like food.
It's all taken care of. I mean, that was the one thing that I was, because it was a resort, right? It was like a full resort. So everything you ate and everything you drank was included in the resort. So it was like, why would that be any different if you're, you know, like maybe you got to reserve the tables and stuff, but come on. I don't know.
Yeah.
They did have some fire fire twirlers and stuff.
Some walk, yeah.
So, yeah, so that was a little entertainment. Yeah, that was fun. That was cool. I mean, the girls were, like, ridiculously hot, scantily clad on the beach, twirling fire all over the place.
You can't be a... Well, I guess you can.
You can.
But I feel like girls who twirl fire usually have something going for them.
Well, usually they're like involved in like the circus or the carnival or something like that. So usually they're like
carnies.
Yeah, carnies.
Carny chicks.
Yeah, they're carny chicks.
They're a little wild.
A little higher quality chicks, like Cirque du Soleil chicks, you know? A little higher.
Gotcha.
But it was a good wedding. I was skeptical of the resort wedding, but it turned out to be good.
Well, it looked like here's my thing from the pictures. It looked like a place where it wanted to be like those villas on the water, but it really wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, was there just like place that was like kind of over the water?
They had,
like,
yeah.
It looked like a bait shack.
Yeah.
It looked like a bait shack over the water.
One of our,
and it was like the honeymoon suite.
Yeah. We had one of our friends come who's like a lawyer.
Yeah.
And she came and she was like, we're staying the whole week. And we're looking at there was like a strip of houses over the water, like little things over the water.
Yeah.
And she's like, I want to upgrade to one of those. And they were like, okay, it's like $500 extra a night. And she was like, oh, that's not bad at all. Let me do that. So she spent a week out there, probably spending like $1,000, $1,500 a night on those things.
They had, is this Kate?
Yeah. I know.
And, she's pretty.
Yeah.
You should go for Kate. What happened with you and Kate?
She had
a boyfriend?
Kate? Yeah, she had a nice guy with him. I've only met him there for the first time. That was really nice. But the houses over the water, they had glass bottom floors. Ooh. So you look into the ocean. Ooh. So I went up to Kate and I was like, what about people who just kind of like wander underneath and just look up?
Yeah.
And
because you were thinking that.
Yeah,
you were thinking
that. Of course
that.
I was.
That's totally you.
Yeah.
It's like you'd be under there with some freaking snorkels.
Yeah.
Like just a scuba tank, like blowing bubbles.
Yeah.
Trying to like.
So I told her that, and she's like, I wasn't worried about that until you just said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So she's cute and she's got money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. So that was
there you
that.
Go.
We did some jet skiing.
Write a note. Message Kate.
Message Kate. We did
Send
some jet skiing.
A message.
We did some snorkeling. And then the last day I ventured out, and that was a kind of a debacle. One of Rose's friends, he was a very nice guy,
Yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
But one of Rose's friends, he was like, we talked about it a little bit. He was like the only single person besides Andy's sister. So he was the only single person there. And he was like, he was kind of like, I got the sense that he was a little weirded out by that whole situation, that he was the only single person there, which was fine.
Oh, that's
got to
be weird.
It was a little weird.
Here's the thing. We invited a couple attractive single girls to our weddings.
Yeah.
Or to our wedding. They were also our friends, but we're like, you know what? Invite some like attractive, you know, like some ladies like who are single to spice up the pot a little
you
bit.
Gotta spice,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, you got to spice the pot.
It's not a bad idea.
You got to. Well, you know, and that guy paid the
add
price.
Because then if you're like the only single dude there and everybody else is with somebody.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, this is not that you go to a wedding to hook up, but it's nice if there's someone
at least. You need that. But that's the idea.
So why not Andy's sister? Why not? What's happening with her?
I actually saw them dancing a little on the dance floor and I was like, all right, that makes sense.
That could work.
Do that.
You're the only two single people here.
Yeah.
You guys got to hook up.
Yeah. So we talked to him and he's like, hey, I'll drive you guys down, because we looked into like getting a taxi or a car service and it was like $100 to go down to like the next town where our hotel was.
I was like, Jesus. Don't they have Uber?
I don't think they have Uber. But so he's like, I'll drive you there. I was like, awesome. And then he's like, and then my place is down in Tulum, which we were going to go to Tulum and check out the ruins. And he was like, so I'll drop you off. Then I got to go do this thing and meet somebody, which we found out.
Wait, this is the taxi driver.
No. This is Rose's friend, the guy who didn't bring his date.
He had a thing.
He had a thing.
So we
found out that he had a Tinder date.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So it was
good.
What?
If you're not going to get it in the wedding in this like small resort, you might as well
find
go out.
Mexican. Find some Mexican.
So was it Mexican or was it like a person in a resort town?
He didn't talk to us about it. We only saw him like messaging through, like we could see him over his shoulder that he was messaging someone through Tinder. And so he drops us off at our hotel. We get settled in. The room wasn't ready at all for like 3 or 4 hours. So we're walking around. And then eventually we get into our room. And by this time, it's like 3 o'clock. And he's and Tulum closes. The ruins close at 5:30. We're like, oh, we're not going to make this. And we're like, oh, it's cool. It's cool. We're not going to go. And he's like, no, it's cool. I'll drive you down there. I'll drop you off. You'll have like an hour or so. You'll be able to walk around for a little bit. And I was like, all right, fine. The guy's offering us a ride. So we go down and he proceeds to go to his hotel. And I was like, you should have just dropped us off at Tulum. But no, we go to his hotel and we got lost for like an hour and a half. So at this point, everything was closed. So now we're stuck in Tulum.
Just hanging out with this dude.
Getting lost, like literally lost. We're driving down dirt roads where at one point there was like a police checkpoint. And a whole bunch of people pulled over, and they were wearing like ski masks. Cops and ski masks, shotguns,
the cops wore
machine
ski masks
guns. And I was like, we're going to die. This is it. We're going to die. We eventually find this hotel. It's really nice. And he's like, all right. And I convinced him to be like, because at this point, if we turned around now, we're going to have to get a taxi back to our hotel for like $100. So I was like, why don't we go get some food in Tulum? We'll go hang out a little bit, walk around, and then you could drive us back. And he was reluctant at first, and then eventually he did. And
so he had a rental car?
He had a rental car. And then on the way back, at this point, the whole day
you're
was...
just hanging out with this dude because he's got a rental car.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
like, basically, take me to the ruins.
Yeah.
And then you end up just kind of...
That didn't work out. So on the way back, he's like, oh, you know, I
lost... He wouldn't be good for Melissa.
No. No,
Melissa likes guys that are
put together. Yeah, he's a good dude. Together. I really liked him. I had fun with him. But
you can't be like just indecisive in Mexico.
No,
driving around a rental car,
getting lost,
trying to look for Tinder dates.
Bad news.
Getting lost. Yeah, bad idea.
So
bad
we idea. Go back, and he's like, "Oh, while we were on the boat doing the snorkeling, I lost my GoPro." And he's like, "You mind if we just make a stop right here and look for a GoPro?" And it was like some Mexican like Walmart. And it wasn't there. So we ended up doing like a Walmart tour of Mexico looking for a GoPro.
Nice.
So we got looking, to see.
Like, wait, you were looking for a Mexican version of GoPro?
He was looking for the real GoPro. So we found a bunch of Mexican versions and he didn't want them. So we ended up going to a whole bunch of Walmarts. They sell at Walmarts in Mexico motorcycles and Vespas for like $700.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was like, I was like, what is this place? This is crazy. They had a row, like a whole, it was giant megastores, rows of motorcycles that you could just buy and just drive out of the store.
Yeah.
I was like, what is this? I think I looked it up and like all you need is like a driver's license and just go. Yeah.
Well, I saw this guy with a scooter. He had a, it was one of the Coleman. I think it's like 120 cc's or 50 cc's or something.
Probably like 50.
But you can buy it at Sam's Club for like $450.
Nice.
And I was really tempted because I was like, oh, that would be fun. Like a little, like,
you know,
mini scooter just to roll around the neighborhood.
You should.
Yeah, I should buy it this summer.
You can get like put a radio flyer on back, put the kids in.
But I saw a dude with one and he was, you know, walking his dog on it, kind of running his golden retriever on it. And I was like, I had to stop him. I saw him driving today, and I was like, hey. I was like, you like that thing? He's like, yeah, I love it. Gets the dog out. I was like, all right. I was like, if I get mine, I'll come over here, and we can have
we'll
a little
do a
bike
scooter,
gang.
Scooter gang. That's pretty good. You should do that. Dylan has a scooter. He's got like one of those nice Vespas. He had to get a license for it. It was more than I think if it's more than 50 cc's, you got to get a license.
Yeah. But, I mean, a Vespa in New York City is kind of...
Dangerous.
Very dangerous.
It's
nobody cares about a Vespa.
No.
You know, like you can't see people on Vespas.
It's like motorcycles on the highway. Nobody sees them, you know? It's like scary as shit.
Yeah.
So the Mexico trip was a success. Another little success on the way back was we get to the airport and the lady at the behind the counter is like, "Oh, your flight's going to be delayed because we had a layover in Orlando. Your flight's going to be delayed because there's a storm in Orlando." And we're like, oh, we're going to miss our connecting flight. And she was like, all right, hold on a second. And she comes back and she's like, oh, I got you on an earlier direct flight to New York. And we got back to New York.
From Mexico?
4 hours earlier than we would have.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that lady.
You know, it pays to be nice to airline people. We were traveling back from Vegas and this one dude, our flight got canceled or sort of like delayed a few hours. And this one guy, and he was wearing this is coming back from Vegas to Denver. And this guy was wearing a suit. And he was like young. He must have been 24 or something. And he was like threatening legal action. And I was like, dude, you don't have a pot to piss in here, bro. Like, we're all in this shitty situation.
Yeah.
We're all like delayed 4 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And he said something about like threatening legal action. And he was very like, well, wait till my father hears about this. And I was like, you can't say that. And I was like,
that's like the biggest douche move you can do.
It was totally like that.
Oh, God, that's so bad. Yeah, that's the biggest douche move you could do. The one good thing, we were waiting in the all right, I'm gonna tell you this and then you can get to your
this. I wrote notes.
Good. I like your notes. I got some notes too, actually. So we're sitting in the I love a good airport celebrity sighting. Those are my favorite. Uh-huh. We're sitting in the airport and we're waiting for a flight, and Eric from Tim and Eric, that big guy who is also in the
Eric Andre?
Not Eric Andre. I can't think of the guy who was in the the guy who got Me Too'd, the Indian guy who got Me Too'd. I can't think of his name.
Oh, Aziz Ansari.
Aziz Ansari. You remember that show that he had on Netflix? That big guy who was his friend?
No, but go on.
Yeah. We saw him in the airport walking around. Yeah. I was like, That's that dude.
Did you say hi to him?
No, not at all. Of course I'm not going to say hi. What am I going to go to him and be like, hey, you want to come on my radio show?
I should.
All right, go on. What's your story?
Do you know that we got to get into a little social justice here?
Social justice.
About the two guys in Starbucks that got arrested?
Do you know the full story? I don't know the full story, but I heard about it. I was reading a little before I came in. What's the story?
Yeah. I don't know. A couple of, all I know is this. I read the headlines. A couple African American gentlemen are sitting in a Starbucks. I guess they were waiting. Story is they were waiting for a friend to come and they hadn't ordered anything. And the only video I saw was them basically being arrested. So but the Starbucks CEO has apologized and, you know, wants to meet with them. But,
well, they called the cops on him because they were like waiting for a table and their buddy. And they were like,
there's
a couple of black guys.
Somebody asked them to leave or something.
Right.
Yeah.
What is he doing here?
That's it. That's all seems like it was an injustice. I don't know the whole story.
Dylan just texted me. No, Dylan just texted me and said, that was a good sighting. Doesn't top my sighting of the Goo Goo Dolls at LAX. Where are you, Dylan? I thought you were coming in. Call in. Jeez.
Yeah, he should.
He should. He was supposed to
call in and
talk
about a...
That story,
hosting the show.
Yeah, that story also reminds me. Did you see the guy who got shot in Brooklyn who had like a metal pipe? Did you see that story?
About it. Yes, I did hear about that.
That was an interesting one because like the whole like kind of the it's interesting because the idea of him getting shot by the police, they're blaming it on like hipsters moving into the neighborhood. So they're saying that they think that hipsters, these white kids kind of taking over their town, their neighborhood in Brooklyn, came in, they saw this guy walking around, so they called the cops, and the cops came in, they shot him. And they're saying that they don't. These kids move in, they don't know the normal people, the crazy people of the neighborhood. They just got to let them be alone and let them like do their thing. But this guy was just like kind of like a crazy local. Everybody has them, you know, like you have a guy in the neighborhood that you see and he's
just don't
nuts.
Take them seriously.
Yeah, you just don't take
them
seriously.
So the crazy local called in and said that there's this like black kid or something.
No, they said some hipster called, although it was anonymous, so they don't know for sure. But they said some white kid who moved into the neighborhood saw this guy walking around with like a pipe acting like it was a gun, called the cops. Cops came, saw him with the pipe, thought it was a gun, and shot him. So instead of blaming the cops, they're saying,
just like a pipe.
Yeah, he just had like a copper pipe, something you buy at Walmart.
This sounds like crazy, just, you know, crazy protectiveness. But I told my kids, I was like, I don't even like the idea of you playing with guns. I mean, I know just the idea, like even... Well, you heard about the kid that got suspended because he he bit his sandwich into a gun. This like fifth grader, something was biting his sandwich, and he bit it into a gun. He didn't get shot, but he got suspended from school.
Damn. I mean, kids love guns. Kids love guns. It's hard to like.
Kids love guns. Kids love. Well, yeah, my kids love playing with like this bubble gun that shoots bubbles or whatever. And I was like, and then, but he calls it his gun.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, this is my gun. I want to play with my gun.
That's what they do.
Like,
I mean, when I was
I don't really love that.
When I was a kid, like, just, everything was a gun. You'd get a stick off the ground, and that was a gun. You'd get, like, anything, and then that was a gun. And so it's like, it's hard for little boys not to want to turn things into guns. Maybe it's a society that we have to change to, like, just get them out of that mindset. Maybe just get rid of guns altogether, and we wouldn't have this problem anymore. But I don't know. I'm not the social justice warrior.
I got into a, over to the neighborhood bar the end, Friday night? Yeah, Friday night was poker night. Went down there, and somehow subject got on guns, and this one, and the fact that I'm not like an avid gun owner. Everybody should, have such easy access to guns.
Sure.
And of course that didn't go over well with this one guy who we ended up hugging at the end. It was fine.
Colorado,
we disagreed, but Colorado. Yeah. Started out, and we're not, well, the way I told him, I was like, hey, listen, we're not going to have, we can have a debate or we can have a discussion, but when you start getting like heated up and you start saying, hold on, slow the fuck, I was like, whoa, easy. We're not going to have that kind of, we're not going to have a reasonable discussion if you're going to start with
cursing.
That.
Yeah, start cursing.
And kind of, and I might be paraphrasing a little bit, but he was basically talking about people in his town stockpiles of guns because they're afraid of people, whether they be Mexican sleeper cells or whatever, coming and like taking over their guns or like attacking them.
Some conspiracy.
And I was like, well, why do you can actually shoot? I was like, if I were to be like Rambo, I could probably only carry two guns. Yeah. You know, why do you need hundreds?
You don't need
hundreds. Well, it's for when everybody comes there and then we make our militia and we have our like defense. And I was like, who's attacking you?
I know.
And why do you like think about that? I was like, why are you
so dangerous?
And he was like, because we got to be ready. You got to stay
ready.
He's
for
like,
what?
They might take away our freedom.
Ready for like, what?
Freedom.
First of all, here's the thing that always gets me about
taking away.
I know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I haven't talked about this since Friday because I really kind of kept it in.
I know. I can see you blowing up.
We don't.
I just love the idea that like we need to collect guns so that when the government tries to take our guns, we can fight back. Or if the government turns whatever, we can fight back. There's no way in hell that if the government turns on America, that any Americans, militia or not, have a fighting chance at the U.S. government. Like, they'll just send in drones.
Drop a nuke on you.
They have no problem.
Yeah,
it's such a bad argument.
I don't get it. I was like, and he was like, well, heroin's illegal. So you could go down, downtown and get some heroin. And I was like, yeah, but I'm not going to. I was like, I told him, I was like, listen, man, I've got kids. My thing is, I just don't want the guy who you done get a gun, and then kids.
Right.
And I was like, it kind of. We grew up in the generation where it started happening at movie theaters, started happening at churches, started happening at schools, like on a regular basis. Granted, we had the shootings in Texas in the 60s or whatnot, dude at the top of the tower, but it just became a regular thing.
Right.
Kind of something that you had to look out for.
Right.
And he's like, well, you got to stay ready. And I was like, I don't know if I want to live like that, man. I don't want to always feel like I have to protect myself at all times, like somebody's going to come in with a gun at any second.
I know.
I was like, that's not the way. I want to live in the suburbs, bro. And I was like, I'm just here to drink some beer and hang out with people and watch you guys play poker and not get into a gun debate.
Wait a minute. You didn't even play poker?
I didn't play. Oh, I didn't have any money. I opened the wife's purse for a little bit, and I was like, I could take out like a 10. I was like, I'm not going to rifle through my wife's purse.
You should
a $10 bill.
What are you going to do? You go down there and you watch people play poker? Come on. You're better than that.
Yeah, well, I like hanging out. I like talking to
you're talking guy.
Talk a little bit. Yeah.
The gun thing too.
Like, you don't answer your phone.
I can't talk to you.
I get all jammed up. I get all charged up.
You don't answer your phone. I just need to keep you on like a because if we talk all week,
you're afraid to get too close.
No, if we talk all week, then we get on the show that we have nothing to talk about.
That's not true. That's not true.
I had a dream the other night.
Yeah.
And this dream produced a joke. So in the dream, which is really funny, but in the dream, I was doing stand-up comedy, and I was not really killing it, but there was a whole group of people in the audience. And my joke was, I understand like people who get lost. Let me see if I can, or like people who get lost trying to find a hotel, you know, and like they get lost and eventually they find it, whatever. But what I don't get and what I don't have a tolerance for is if someone's in your house and they say, I got to go to the bathroom, and they get lost and they don't find the bathroom, but they pee anyway. This was my joke in my dream. But then I saved the joke, right? And I said, let me see if I can find it. And then I said, but that joke's kind of below me, like low-hanging fruit. And I pointed to one guy in the audience, and I was like, that guy understands what I'm saying.
And you killed it. Did you kill it?
I killed it. That joke, put it through the roof. Nice. And I woke up, and I was like, I got to write this down, tell it on the air, because it's a bad joke with a good ending. And maybe my joke, my dreams are trying to tell me, it's time to do some stand-up comedy. Probably not.
Yeah, I think you should. I think stand-up comedy would like really get in touch with yourself.
Yeah.
Because your chances are you're gonna bomb a couple
bombs.
Times.
Yeah.
But that feeling, you know, there's only one way to go but up.
I know.
You know?
I know. Yeah. It's definitely something.
I had a joke the other night. Let me try this one out. I was thinking, I was like, why do they call it tax season? I was like, are we hunting accountants?
That's not good. It's not good at all.
Well, got a couple laughs at Friday. I don't know if they were just drunk.
Yeah. That's a good joke. That's a good joke.
Well, they do call it tax season.
They do.
You know, right?
They do.
And then these accountants are working crazy hours.
They do.
And then I guess everybody who's like late on their taxes basically thinks that accountants only work like 2 weeks out of the year.
I mean,
which I guess they work true. Like,
I mean, they work throughout, but they don't, obviously, is not as strong as the tax season. It's like a hunting rabbit, you know? Hunting rabbit season.
Yeah.
Bad joke. It's a good joke, though. Ooh. Ooh.
What else? What else is in the news? Did you, we struck Syria last night?
We did.
Friday night?
We did.
How's that going?
I mean, I have not really been in too much of the Trump news besides the Cohen whole thing, but I mean, it's really funny. I saw what Alex Jones did a show, and he started crying about the Syrian bombing, and started
probably because nobody else is, and he's going to do everything else that he's going to do what people aren't doing just so he can get.
But he started to turn on Trump, and he was like, Trump is just screwing us all. And he started to turn on him, which is probably a good thing. If Alex Jones turns on Trump, I mean, Trump's got nothing left. I mean, there's just no, we just need like Hannity to turn on him, and then there's nobody left.
Yeah. Well, who's in his, Roseanne's in his corner. He's
I guess
got Roseanne.
So. I don't know what's happening with Roseanne. She's just goddamn nuts. Oh, I forgot to tell you. I think I brought something back from Mexico. My thumb is like purple and swollen.
Oh, what?
My thumb is like all swollen and purple. And I don't know what the hell it is. I made a doctor's appointment.
It's that you're hanging out with Andy.
I know.
You're hanging out with Andy. Is it your phone hand?
The other hand. Well, no, I use them both, I guess. So, yeah, I guess it's that one. But also, he said that...
you always...
Well, go ahead.
...get sick. I mean, that's like...
I know. Every time I hang out with him, I come back with something else. It's bad news.
Yeah. Just think what his wife's getting.
I know. I know.
Him. Forever.
Forever. Never. Yeah. We lost two people over this past week. Milos Forman, the guy who directed One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and Amadeus. Good dude.
Yeah.
Great. Directed some pretty good stuff. I loved One Flew. And then Art Bell. Did you ever listen to Art Bell?
Uh-uh.
Art Bell was really fucking cool. Art Bell had like an AM show, it was called Coast AM, Coast to Coast AM, and it was all about paranormal investigations and stuff. So he would do these ghost shows or like alien shows, and like people out of the woodworks would call in about with their paranormal stories and alien stories and all that stuff. And I remember he had one show where someone called in and was threatening him saying, like, basically saying that they were the Men in Black. And then as soon as the phone call ended, his whole studio went black. So, it was probably choreographed. Really? But he was a late night guy.
Probably a good way to end the show.
Yeah. They were definitely.
Like, oh, geez, what happened to that guy?
But I always liked to listen to Art Bell when I was a kid. He was awesome. But he passed at 72. Milos at 86. I got one more.
Right, go ahead. I got a couple more. His mom, Jean Marzullo, she wrote the riddles for the I Spy books. He was 75, passed away Friday, Thursday. So,
who was it?
Earlier this week.
You broke up a little bit. Who was it?
Sorry, Jean Marzullo. She wrote the riddles for the I Spy books. My buddy Dave's mom.
Interesting. Oh, really?
So up in Cold Spring. Yeah. Hmm. So the New York Times did a nice obituary on her.
That's nice.
I think today or yesterday. And I think the services were yesterday.
Huh.
People dying.
People dying. People can't stand Trump.
It sucks.
They're just dying.
Kind of, things happen. My friend's dog died. My friend's dog was 2 years old. It was a puppy, had a seizure. And then fucking died. Ugh, crazy.
That's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. Two years old. You know, you have a dog for like 2 years.
That's a puppy.
And,
oof.
That's a puppy.
That's a puppy.
And then just to like die suddenly, it's crazy, you know?
Yeah. Did you ever watch the movie Ninth Gate? Not a good movie. It's the one with Johnny Depp, and it's all about it's all about these books that were written a long time ago, and they were pretty much written by the devil. It's a stupid, stupid movie, but it got me looking for the oldest known books in the world, and obviously one of them is there's 48 left, the Gutenberg Original Press Bibles, there's like 48 left, and like 21 of them are still full whole printed. And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But one of the oldest ones is called the Etruscan Gold Book, which was written in 660 BC. And it's completely pressed on gold sheets. And they found it in a canal in a river in Bulgaria. And it's 24 karat gold, like pressed
in a canal.
Yeah, in a canal. Yeah, they found this in a canal in Bulgaria.
That's why we gotta start searching canals.
I know. But
you're definitely gonna find a body.
Yeah, you know? But it was like these little pieces of gold were bound by a bunch of rings, and you could flip them over, and each page had something on them, and it was it's pretty interesting to like think about the idea of like. You know, the oldest books in the world. And Egypt has one, and Turkey has one. And there's one, obviously, in like China or Japan or something like that, in India. And they're like these fucking old books. It's weird. I just thought it was very interesting. That's all I got on that subject. We got a couple minutes left. I want to thank Alana for calling in. You can go see her tonight in freaking Ohio. She's playing with L7. And she's opening up for them, which is pretty cool. You still there?
L7official.com.
L7official.com.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Are we real?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we're good.
Just make sure.
But
sorry, I don't know if there's a delay because I'm looking at you on the video, and then you're looking at who? This guy, Harvey?
Harvey Dent?
Charlie?
No,
who's coming in?
Michael's coming
in. Who's coming in?
We got Collision Time Revisited coming up next. Yeah. We bring up his mic. Say hello. How's it going, buddy?
Good. How are you doing?
Not bad. What's going on?
Oh, it's raining.
Yesterday was like 74, 80 degrees, right?
It's
today
so
is like
crazy.
30.
It literally dropped 30 degrees, 30 to 40 degrees.
The weather's crazy.
Yeah.
Weather's nuts.
It's awful.
You guys are just getting like pounded.
It's terrible. You can't win around here.
Yeah. Who were you talking to?
You appreciate
that was
the warmth.
L7?
You appreciate the sun now.
The Death Valley Girls?
That's what I thought because, I know like they just played Brooklyn Steel.
Yeah, they played with them, yeah.
Yeah, and I like Death Valley Girls a lot.
Yep, we just had them on the phone.
That's awesome.
And they were They were like literally, I don't know how much I believe of them, but they're going on stage at 8 and they called me at like 7, 7:30. Wow, and they were like, we're on the sidelines of the stage and we're going to go on any minute, which is kind of fun. And they were like, they did a group chat with us. So they had their phone on speaker and you couldn't understand a goddamn word they were saying. But it was fun. It was fun. I went to high school with the bass player from them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Mm. So, yeah, it was good. It was good to talk to them. They're going to check up next week, see how the tour is going.
Cool.
But L7, yeah, what's their big hit?
Pretend We're Dead.
Pretend We're Dead. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. That was, I mean, like, they'd been around, like, for years and were big among the indie rock circles. And then in that post-Nirvana blip where it seemed like everybody had at least, like, one, like, rock radio hit, on Pretend We're Dead was theirs.
Yes. Yeah, and that was, like, mid, late 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I remember them. I couldn't remember. I wasn't a huge fan, but I appreciated.
Yeah.
But it's awesome that my friend is opening up for him. I'm on tour with him right now. So big shout out to them, Death Valley Girls, L7. We got a couple minutes left. What's going on over there, Giggs? You remember this song?
I'm just watching the local news. We have the Weather Woman.
You love those Weather Women.
She's just like kind of too beautiful, and I feel like we or no Dylan.
You talked about this.
I was doing
last
the same
week.
Thing with Dylan the other day. I was talking to Dylan about the like how we need like homelier weather people, you know, like meteorologists. I think they should just be a little bit like normal. They shouldn't look too hot.
They shouldn't be too hot. So you want to go start? All right. So you're telling me that if you started at a channel, like a new local news channel.
Yeah.
You would go on
uglyweatherman.com.
Ugly weather people.
There it is. Yeah.
I don't think your weather or your newscast would do too well if you had a bunch of like homely people behind the counter and telling you the news and the weather. Just wouldn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would watch it.
Whatever happened to that trend of like heavyset men telling the weather?
Yeah, it was a good period of time. I was like New York One. I really liked. Still.
Well, Al Roker got the waistband.
Lost all that weight. Yeah, he totally lost all that weight.
He lost all the weight, and then it was like it wasn't cool to be a overweight.
It's true.
Man.
It's very true. But New York One,
have you seen Frankie McDonald?
Yeah, Frankie McDonald's great. He's in Canada, and he does the weather up in Canada. he's special. But he's really entertaining. Frankie McDonald.
Base.
He does. Yeah. He's got a huge fan base. If you get a chance to listen to Frankie McDonald, it's pretty awesome. But what was I going to say? Oh, New York One still has that kind of like not the prettiest of people giving you the news. And it kind of reminds me of, you remember in the 1989 Batman when all of them couldn't wear any of the makeup and they were all like really like horrible looking.
Uh-huh.
It kind of New York One kind of reminds me of 1989 Batman newscaster.
Yeah. Well, who is the blonde woman? I think she has an Irish name, like Kristen Shaughnessy.
I can't remember her name. I know that you're talking about.
I forget, but like she's been on the network for like 15, 20 years, and she's she's attractive, but like she's getting a little long in the tooth. Like I hate to sound so shallow,
right?
And say that, but
you get a little older, you know.
Yeah.
But it's cool that they keep her around. You know, like
they
I think
were around
the
before HDTVs.
That's very
Let's
true.
Just say that.
That's very
and
true.
And 4K TVs.
Right.
And, they were around before.
Right.
Technology kind of wasn't nice to anybody who was like a, you know.
Softened you up a little bit. It like put a natural softness on the camera lens.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just go back.
A soft focus.
That's the thing. It's like everybody wants to go this 4K and above like 8K and all that. It's like people are not going to look good anymore. People are going to look really bad when you start getting really precise on like their pores and like their sweat. It's just it's not going to be pretty.
I once saw Carolyn Gusoff in my local pizza place.
Oh yeah,
and I mean, yeah, you can see wrinkles like up close, but she's still smoking hot.
Yeah, I mean, even be on TV, you're going to keep care of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
So
she's keeping it tight.
She's keeping it tight. All right. So that's pretty much our show. And
good getting back with you, buddy.
Yeah, it's good getting back. It's good to be back from Mexico. I had a blast down there.
You called
it
Mexico.
Mexico.
The first couple times.
Mexico. I'll call it Mexico.
You changed.
I know. I'm getting back into the American life, you know. I start out with Mexico and work my way into Mexico.